Welcome again, everyone. We continue our series in the Gospel of Mark entitled Following Jesus. This morning, we're looking at difference makers, and we are in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at the left hand in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. And Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at difference makers. When my daughter was younger, her favorite diner on the west side was a little place called Route 66, and she loved Route 66. I did too. I had the best breakfast, and we go there all kinds of day and night for breakfast. And as she was there, one day she said, Dad, I want to be a waitress. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, I just like people give you things to go get, and you go get them, and you serve them, and they're so happy. And I said, well, it's not always that way. But but she kept telling the owner, Carrie, who loved Savannah, that she wanted to do that. And then one day, Carrie said, well, Savannah, come on with you. You can serve. We can't pay you anything because, you know, it breaks child labor laws. But you can serve people coffee, and you can help me take orders, and you can take some breakfast out. And so every time we go there, Savannah would do that. She just loved serving the tables and waiting on people. And she just smiled. But she was aglow with all that. And so I would tell her, I said, listen, you may not always want to be a waitress, but if that's your attitude in life, as to serve people and to make them happy, you will go far, and you will be full of joy. And I think it's still true today. Her goals have changed, obviously, but she still loves to serve folks and to do things, and it gives her great joy. And I think for all of us, it's a great reminder and a good backdrop as we walk back into this story this morning. And you recall that we were where last week? We were on the mountaintop. That's right. We were on the mountaintop. And you recall that I said, you know, the mountaintop is not meant to be a place where we lived all of our life. In fact, mountain highs are for valley lows. And the mountain gives us power to go forth and to serve. And the mountain gives us perspective about God's plan and purpose in our life. And so it was with Jesus, as he was there with Peter, James, and John, that Jesus was empowered. As the prayers of Moses and Elijah were there, he'd go forth into the valleys. He's headed towards Jerusalem to give his life on Calvary. And then Jesus needed the perspective, a reminder maybe that God's plan and purpose was bigger, was for all of humanity, for him to lay down his life. And so it was with the disciples who wanted to stay there, like we all do, to make cabins, to make lean-tos, to make shelters. But Jesus said, we need to go forth. And from there, Jesus does indeed. He goes down off the mountain, and he has all kinds of moment in service between chapter 9, if you read the rest of that, beginning of chapter 10, until this moment this morning. In fact, Jesus goes, and there's a man whose son is ill, has been ill for a long time, and he wants Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus says, all things are possible to them that believe. And the man says, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. That's one of the most encouraging insights in the Bible. You know why? Because I felt that way so many times. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And what does Jesus do? Jesus heals his son. Jesus heals his son. And I think the same for us. Jesus has moments where Jesus is serving, and then Jesus is ministering to little children that need blessed, and Jesus is teaching and doing all kinds of things. And I think that's so important. And then we come to this moment this morning, and James and John come to Jesus, and what do they say? Oh, let me read it, because this is so true. Things haven't changed too much. They asked Jesus, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask. We want you to do for us whatever we ask." Oh, have you ever asked that? I know you have, because you've come to me saying that, if you're honest. And I will tell you that many times I've done the same thing, all right? And some people come to church for that reason. I understand that as well. But boy, nothing could be truer than that. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. But what does Jesus say? Jesus turns it all around. Jesus turns it all around and says this. He says, "You know that those who regarded as rulers and the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high authorities exercise authority, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Wow, that is so powerful. And you know, friends, that's what we should be about. Discovering that when we serve others, we're doing God's will. That love is serving. Serving is love in action. And we make a difference in our world when we serve others through the empowerment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are you with that concept this morning? If you've been on the mountaintop, well, that's great. Well, maybe you need to walk through the valley and to serve like Christ served, to do what Christ did, to go forth with the mission of Almighty God. Think about the people who've made so much difference in the world. I think one that I always think of is Mother Teresa, who was born in a wealthy family, ended up giving away all of her inheritance, and to serve the poorest of the poor. She would serve the orphans and those who were homeless, widows, and she did it with such joy. She always had a smile on her face, and it was amazing. And even when she was invited to visit Washington, D.C., she kind of embarrassed officials because she refused to go to the places of power until she went to all the poor places, which actually weren't that far from the places of power. They were just ignored. But Mother Teresa went there and not only shined a light on those moments, but also served those who were the last, the least marginalized, and she did it with joy and service. Now, for each of us, God calls us to some kind of a service. Maybe not exactly the same as James and John, but God has service for all of us. And listen to what Peter says, because I love this too, that was read earlier. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Boy, what good news is that? And Peter was here in this moment, and he writes this. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Oh my gosh, let me read that again. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. So first of all, we've all received gifts, so accept your gift. Not someone else's, don't be envious of that, but accept your gift and then to use it, to serve others, to bless others. And when you do that, you'll discover not only a blessing of God for doing God's work, but also God's joy that is special and unique in every moment. And it doesn't really matter what season of life that you're in. One of the stories that I love, true story, is that Walter Turnbull, who was a great opera singer for the New York opera, and he got to the age in life where he couldn't hit the high notes anymore, right? As an opera singer, so wasn't sure what to do. So he did a lot of reflection, and he decided what he was going to do was to start a choir for young boys. And he wasn't going to do it in the wealthy places, where the schools or churches of New York City. He decided he was going to go into the poorest of the neighborhoods, which at that time was Harlem, which is still a fairly poor neighborhood. And he recruited young boys, teenagers, young teenagers, and with his own money, he found a place for them to practice. They began to find the joy of music, and he started what has been one of the longest-running and most successful boys' choirs in the world, the Harlem Boys Choir. And in a community where many of these young men never finished high school, 98% of the Harlem Boys Choir finishes college. 98% of the Harlem Boys Choir finished college. Why? Because he said that it was not just the music, but teaching them the love of beauty that will begin their life forever, and the discipline, and because he poured his life into them with no salary. Now, he's long since faded from the scene, but that great music tradition continues on. So it doesn't matter what season you're in. Sometimes God uses your gift in a new way as we transition from one season to another. But the gift is still there. What gift do you have that God has blessed you with that you can serve others with in an incredible, joyous way? And many times, many of us want to have other people's gift. I shared before, I wish I could sing like Elvis and play the guitar like Santana. Ain't gonna happen. I do a little bit of both, but you know what? God's given me other gifts. And for each of us, we need to find our lane and do our service that God has blessed us with, because all of us have gifts and talents. And when we do that, then we are a great choir, or we are a great team, or we are a great family, serving God not just in these church walls, but out into the community, being salt and light in God's world wherever we go. But what does it take? Well, for salt, it takes shaking it out of the shaker, right? Not just in the church, not just in the container, but out into the community. And for light, it means turning it on, raising it high, to share the light with others. All of us have been blessed with incredible gifts and talents. Where can you serve today? Now, sometimes all of us feel like our gift isn't enough. But I love the story that Kierkegaard tells about this priest in a rural parish, and they didn't have much money, but they needed new altar cloths. And the one white altar cloth for Sunday morning, and they didn't have the funds. And so the priest knew of this great seamstress, and so he went to that seamstress and said, "Listen, I know you're a great seamstress, and we need a new altar cloth for the altar for the church. Can you sew that for us?" And she said, "Oh, no, Father, I can't do that." And he said, "Wait, you're a great seamstress." She said, "Well, no, I could never do something like that for the church altar. That's much too above me." And so the priest kept asking her and finally persuaded her to make the altar cloth. And so week after week, when he saw her in church, he'd ask her if the altar cloth was done. And each week she'd say, "No, Father, I'm still working on it. I just don't think it's enough for the church." And so finally, one week, the priest looked at her and said, "Listen, we really need it for next Sunday. How about if you bring it to me during the week, and you and I together, with no one there, we'll place it on the altar and look at it?" She said, "Okay, Father, I'll do that." And so that week, she came to the church, and together, the priest and her put the altar cloth on the altar, and then they stood back, and the priest said, "What do you think?" And she said, "Oh, Father, it's more beautiful than I could ever imagine." And the priest said, "That's always the way it is when we give the best that we have and God blesses it." And so I think it's that way in our lives. Sometimes you and I don't feel up to the task, but you know, God has given us gifts to use, not to hide. And so use your gift and ask God's blessing. And as you use it, the gift will grow. And as you bless others, the gift will be multiplied. So where are you today? We all want to be on the mountaintop. It's great to be empowered. It's great to have perspective. But the mountain high is for the valley low, just as it was for Jesus. For he took that blessing of the mountaintop into the valley below to live out his mission and to bless others. Next Sunday, in case you haven't figured it out by now, is Palm Sunday. Oh, I love Palm Sunday. We're going to have a great cantata. We're going to have palms for everybody, not just for the kids, but for everyone. And Jesus is, in this moment, on his way to Jerusalem. And maybe Jesus is thinking about how he should enter Jerusalem, right? And so if you are a politician, famous person, person of power, prestige, talent, you know, how you enter a city makes all the difference. Now, for the Romans, it was all about a white charger. Now, I don't mean a white Dodge Charger with 700 horsepower like today, though I like that. That would be great. But it was the equivalent of that day, which was a white, powerful steed that the Roman emperor or great generals would ride in on. Jesus didn't choose that. Because you know rides are so important. I mean, think about all the movies, too. James Bond, what did James Bond have? This is his identity. The Bond car, the Bond motorcycle, the Bond submarine with all the gadgets. Or you think about Batman. Batman had the Batmobile, right, with all the gadgets and power, and each new movie has a new rendition of that. And even Elvis had what? the pink Cadillac, if you can go back far enough. Well, what did Jesus select? Jesus chose a donkey. I mean, seriously? Not a white charger, not any other things available? But if you think about it for a moment, of course it did fulfill prophecy, but why was the prophecy there? You see, donkeys are comical then, just like they are now, Shrek and all the other movies. But here's the one thing about a donkey. Donkeys are great for service, not for show. Donkeys are great for service, not for show. If you go down in the Grand Canyon, you want a donkey, not a white charger. Let me just tell you. 700 horsepower or otherwise, all right? So Jesus was choosing a symbol of his life and ministry and maybe whispering to us that the most important thing is not show, it's service. Steady, faithful service, like the donkey. Well, whatever you ride, I think Jesus would whisper to us this morning that if you want to be a difference maker, you want to be the salt and spice of the world, and you want to shine a light that makes a difference, then the secret is not lording over others, but serving others. Not saying, God, do whatever I ask you to do, but Lord, whatever it is you ask me to do, I'm going to do it. Whatever it is you ask me to do, I'm going to do it because I want to serve you faithfully. I want to live out my love and my blessing from the mountaintop in the valley below is like you I serve. So today I challenge all of us as we head towards Palm Sunday and Holy Week to think about what Jesus did to make a difference by serving. And if we'll accept that challenge, God will be faithful to do exactly that with us. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we're so thankful for this moment in Scripture where you whisper such great truths, not just to James and John and all of the disciples, but also to each and every one of us. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to accept the blessings that you give us in life, but to also accept the gifts and talents you bless us with to serve others and to find the blessing that only comes from serving others as we follow you. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.